Cyril is right. Cyril is always right. It's not because the fabric's adored by the clients that Cyril is right. It's right because it's right. Because it's beautiful. Maybe one day you'll change your taste, Alma.
Maybe not.
Maybe you have no taste.
Maybe I like my own taste.
Yes, just enough to get you into trouble.
Perhaps I'm looking for trouble.
Stop!
I saw you at the hospital.
Are you from here?
Yeah.
You like it here?
I'm really interested in architecture.
I hear this town is quite the mecca.
Move.
You're paralyzed. Just like that day when you did nothing. You did nothing. And now, sink into the floor.
Wait.
Sink.
Gets arrested a lot.
This woman in here thinks she's married to Jesus.
Oh, watch out for the water. Cause guess what? I went to the hospital one time. These are the rooms we're not supposed to go in. But let's go anyway.
What is your name?
Baby.
Wait, what? Your name's Baby. B-A-B-Y Baby.
Yeah.
Well, then you have us all beat. Every damn song is about you. We could drive back and forth across the states forever and never run out of baby songs.
We might run out of gas.
Hey, fuckhead!
What?
Don't say what, Dixon, when she comes in calling you a fuckhead, and don't you
shut
come
up
in here.
Cells.
Cells.
Have you ever been in an institution? Cells.
Cells.
Do they keep you in a cell? Cells.
Cells.
When you're not performing your duties, do they keep you in a little box? Cells.
Cells.
Interlinked.
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold the hand of someone you love? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do they teach you how to feel finger to finger? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you long for having your heart interlinked? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you dream about being interlinked?
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold your child in your arms? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you feel that there's a part of you that's missing? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked.
Why don't you say that three times? Within cells, interlinked.
Within cells, interlinked. Within cells, interlinked. Within cells, interlinked.
We're done.
Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 80 / our top 10 episode.
Yeah. Still not a lot of sports stars.
Yeah.
So we'll keep on with the movies that opened that year. Some little Empire Strikes Back film.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
1980.
Some Stanley Kubrick film, The Shining.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it.
And some little Martin Scorsese film, Raging Bull.
Nice.
It's a pretty good year.
Yeah, man. That's awesome.
That's good stuff.
That's cool.
We kind of lied. We kind of said we were back, and then we kind of weren't. What happened?
Yeah, what happened?
I thought we were back.
We were. Holidays happened. And
yeah,
then...
so that's the thing. Yeah. The day we were supposed to record was Christmas Day.
That's right, yeah.
And that wasn't happening.
Yeah.
Adrian likes his family.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was watching movies.
yeah. And there wasn't very good movies playing at the time, and then I got sick.
Yeah.
I thought I had a stomach flu for a few days. I was like, oh yeah, I'll just let it pass.
Yeah, all throughout that week, you were texting me back and forth like, dude, I'm not feeling very well.
Yeah.
We can't record today.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it turned into sharp pains in my stomach. And it turned out I had a blockage in my bile duct due to gallstones and had to have my gallbladder removed. So that's how I spent my Christmas and New Year's.
Dude. So yeah, that's why we didn't record.
Yeah.
If you got a problem with that, go fuck yourself.
That's right. Yeah. Surgery was about 3 weeks ago and I'm still not 100% yet.
Dude.
I'm still at about maybe 80-85%.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling okay though.
Yeah.
That was pretty scary shit.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like texting you, like, dude, I'm in emergency and my stomach hurts real bad.
I run over to the computer and start like Googling like gallbladder surgery and all this shit. I'm like, yeah. What the hell is this? Like, how common is this? How long is he going to be out for and all this stuff? Yeah. And it was freaky.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm through that, thank goodness. And a good friend of mine, I think you met him at Van Hassig Fest, is going through the same thing as well. So warm thoughts out to Tom.
Oh.
Tom Smith.
Nice.
Yeah, he's just going through the recovery process now, so we'll be thinking warm thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was my Christmas and New Year's break. What have you been up to?
I went to a party on New Year's, and it wasn't very good, and I left at about 12:04.
Oh, yeah.
Out the back door.
Nice.
Like a pimp. I haven't been doing much. I've still been watching movies, as you'll see in my lightning round. It's been pretty low-key. 2018's kind of started off on a bit of a lull.
It has.
Not much going on.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Back to the show. I'm happy we're back.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm calling it now. We're back.
We are, for real.
For real.
John Wick style.
Yeah. Be damn, we'll record in 2 weeks. I don't care. I'll drag him here if it has to be done.
That's right.
But did you watch the Golden Globes? The Golden Globes.
Oh, the Golden Globes, dude. Yeah. I watched Oprah's speech and then it turned into
on YouTube.
Yeah,
like
on YouTube.
I did? Yeah, nice.
Somebody's like cell phone camera thing, and there was like, oh, now she's gonna be the next president. Like, calm the fuck down, people.
Yeah. I don't care who won any of the awards. I actually don't know who won any of the awards.
I think I overheard some, but I've already forgotten.
Nice. But yeah, other than that, man, not much going on.
I've got big news. Big news. Not really. It's just nerdy news. I ordered a PC a few days ago, so that'll be arriving hopefully this week.
What kind of card has it got in it?
It's got a GeForce.
The 1060 or 1080? Okay.
Yeah.
1080s are stupidly high right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because everybody's Bitcoining with them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so the price is just jacked. Yeah, 1060 is the sweet spot right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're about between like 5 and 700.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
What kind of processor?
It's an Intel i7.
Good.
It's pretty good. I checked all the YouTube videos, like Linus Tech Tips. And
It's a 7000 series?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay, yeah. Yeah. And they all gave it good reviews.
Did you max the RAM?
No, I can upgrade it though.
Okay.
So it comes with 8, I think. So yeah, I'll upgrade it in a month or two. But for now, it'll do what I need to do. It'll play Overwatch.
Nerd Talk with Adrian and Bill.
Yeah. It'll play PUBG and
nice.
Be able to browse websites. And
So you'll be able to play PUBG in more than 20 frames per second?
That's right. Yeah, it'll be pretty cool.
I played the Xbox One version. It's shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's incomplete right now.
Yeah.
It's just previews. So
like when you jump out of the plane at the beginning, you're floating down, it's less than 10 frames a second.
Oh, is it?
It chops so bad.
I can't wait for that to be finished, but oh well.
PC Master Race, baby.
That's right. And today I went to Best Buy. I picked up a new gaming headset and a new mouse.
So nice.
Be right into that.
Cool.
So just a quick heads up before we get into the meat and potatoes of the show. This format's going to be a little bit different because we've been gone for so long. We're not going to bother trying to have like a quote unquote regular episode. We've watched so many movies. So what we're going to do is we'll have a rant coming up next, and then we'll have just a mass lightning round where we talk about every movie we've watched since last episode, which is what, about 6 weeks worth of movies?
Pretty much.
Yeah. We'll talk about our movie club, and then we'll get into our...
Finally.
Yeah.
Talking about the movie club from September.
That's right. And then we'll get into our top 10 movies of 2017. We'll also count down our 11 through 20, probably quick and dirty style. We'll talk about a few other categories from 2017.
So after last episode, my boy Nick texted me. He's like, did you not do movie club just to piss me off? And I'm like, yeah, it was just to piss you off.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the fact that the show was like 14 hours long. We just cut it because it was stupid.
Yeah, it was long.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we opted to skip it, but we'll cover it on this one.
So. Yeah. So you got a rant?
I do have a rant. Sundance Film Festival is going on right now. A couple things about it. It seems like everybody there, more than any other year, is just so eager to tell everybody, all of their followers, that they're at Sundance. Everything is just, hey, I'm at Sundance. Oh, the shuttle. Oh, I just saw this actor. I'm at Sundance. I'm at Sundance. I just saw this movie at Sundance.
I saw a video of snow a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about it. It kind of annoys me this year. And then, of course, people are getting pissed off about seeing the Netflix logo before their screen. screening or as their screening starts.
Get used to it. It's the future.
Yeah. They need to adapt or just die because Netflix and YouTube and Amazon, they're going to take over.
They have the money.
They do.
Yeah. I don't want to go to a film festival that doesn't sell passes to the public. Yeah. Sundance is one of them. You have to be elite press to go to Sundance.
You do.
So fuck that festival.
To really experience it. I've seen tweets from a guy who's like, oh, waited in line and didn't get in. I'll try getting here. It's like, why do that to yourself?
Yeah. I like to just completely destroy festivals.
And all those movies will play at totally. FIFF and then we'll get them in limited release screeners.
Or go to South by Southwest.
Yeah.
They'll all be there too.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, fuck Sundance.
Yeah, that's my rant.
Fuck the Cannes Film Festival too. It also doesn't sell passes to people who are regular.
That's true.
My rant is about the whole YouTube Netflix thing. A really big film, Bodied, got picked up by YouTube Red.
That's right.
And the world lost their mind. Guess what? I got a little inside scoop for you. Joseph Kahn went to everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah. And they passed on it.
Yeah. A24.
Everybody passed on the film. Yeah. He tried to get regular distribution and nobody wanted it. So guess what? A company who makes a ton of money picked it up. And guess what? It's going to be huge, folks.
Oh, yeah.
You think it won't be. But trust me on this one. Body's going to be huge.
Yeah.
I've seen it. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it is going to get a theatrical release.
With a bunch of money behind it.
Yeah. Like Keddie was a YouTube movie.
Totally.
And we saw that up here.
In Canada.
So people need to relax. Like, and the thing is, I forgot who posted it. I think I had a short conversation with somebody and it was like, you know, YouTube has, you know, massive amount of battle rap videos on their website. It's just smart business for them to pick up Bodied. So they're not going to bury it.
And the people who are going to watch that film are always on YouTube.
That's right.
Yeah. And they'll charge them $5 to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
makes sense to me.
Yeah. People need to chill.
That movie's going to be huge.
Yeah.
Everybody calm down.
Yeah.
Rant out.
Good rant. I agree with you, man. And Joseph Kahn for months has been tweeting about how it's his baby and he's not just going to sell it to anybody.
Everybody wanted to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a brutal film.
It is.
You know, as we said before, if you're the person who doesn't like Body, you're probably the person they're talking about.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not a nice film.
Yeah. So that's our rant.
Yeah.
There we go. So we can get into the next part of the show. We usually review movies, like three movies in in-depth detail. But as we mentioned, we're just going to do a lightning round, an extended lightning round.
Yeah.
And I guess I can go first because my list is probably much smaller.
Yeah, I got a few.
I was out of commission. I couldn't go to the movies for a few weeks. And even when I tried to watch them at home, I had to just stop them. And anyway, enough of me crying and complaining. I'll just go through quick as I can here. Finally saw BPM. Nice. Absolutely love that film. Oh my gosh, man. There's something incredibly powerful about that movement where they were snapping their fingers instead of applauding with, you know, clapping. It was just a really cool way of showing support and showing solidarity. And of course, there's a really beautiful love story mixed in with that film. And
scenes, it was just harrowing and a bunch stuff. Of scenes that absolutely crush you.
Yeah.
Then like 20 minutes later, you're like euphoric with happiness because something amazing happens.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's the quickest 2-hour and 25-minute movie I've seen this year.
Absolutely.
Like, I felt like it was a half hour long.
And for anybody unaware, it's about a small core of people who were a part of the Paris, what's it?
ACT UP.
ACT UP. ACT UP movement, where they were fighting for basic human rights in the middle of the AIDS epidemic in the early 80s, I suppose.
90s?
And, or 90s, sorry. Yeah, 90s, where companies and pharmaceutical companies were discriminating against homosexuals and homeless people, poor people, just for no reason. And these were some of the people who were pioneers for a movement like this. And it was amazing.
I saw it on the second day of VIFF, and I knew it was my favorite film of the festival that day. And I'm like, well, I guess I can just probably go home now.
Nice. Yeah.
It was that good.
It's really good.
You'll see where it is on my top 10 list.
Right on, man.
Because it's a pretty special film. I don't think it's open in the U.S. yet, but it's open in Canada already. But yeah. My God, it's a special film.
It is.
Screwed by the Oscars. What a shock.
Yeah. 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 It's brutal. And then I also saw Faces Places, which is a documentary. Oh, yeah. Agnes Varda. Varda.
And JR.
A couple of artists. You know more about Agnes Varda. She did
Cleo from 5 to 7.
Yeah, 5 to 7. And
it's pretty cool that you saw Cleo from 5 to 7 at the 24-hour movie marathon, and then later saw her, like, maybe her swan song film, because she's going blind.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So these two people who are the exact opposite. One's a 30-year-old art guy, and one's an 80-year-old filmmaker. And they just start going around the countryside taking pictures and making these weird installations on, like, buildings and bridges and weird shit.
Yeah.
Like, on JR's Twitter a couple days ago, he put, like, a picture of Agnes Varda's feet on a building in L.A.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was just like, go, dude. You're awesome.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And they really captured, I think, a nice sample of French people in the countryside and the working class. And I thought it was awesome. It's just a beautifully, like, uplifting movie.
Yeah.
I just felt good through the whole thing.
I don't think there's a better feeling film this year than that film. You walk out of that film just going, wow, like, big giant smile.
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. It's great, great films. So check out Faces Places if and when you get the chance. I also saw I, Tonya, which I enjoyed, but I didn't love it.
I'm with you.
Yeah. It tries too hard to be Scorsese's Goodfellas. tries
Dude,
way too
we
hard.
Are so on the page right now.
Really?
Like, exactly. Like the weird, like, breaking the wall stuff.
Yeah.
Really reminded me of Goodfellas.
Oh, yeah. And how many scenes do we need of Galooly beating Tonya Harding?
Oh, totally.
Like, there must have been, I'm not exaggerating, about four or five scenes of him physically abusing her. And I get it, you know, he was an abusive, horrible person. She had to put up with a lot. And if your movie has to turn and break the fourth wall in order to get its message across, you lose, like, 2 stars right there for me. And that's exactly what this movie
does. You also don't have Gimme Shelter by the Rolling Stones playing in the background with Ray Liotta snorting a big line of coke in the background, you
That's
know?
Right.
I love Goodfellas.
It's a fine movie.
It's good.
I knew everything and nothing was new. And I thought the skating stuff looked weird, like the special effects with her face.
Did you like the acting?
It was good,
yeah. I thought the acting was good.
I really enjoyed Allison Janney.
I like the friend of Galooly, the guy who thought he was, like, a secret agent guy.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah. He was really good.
But it's a 3.5-star film all day.
Yeah. I'd put it at about 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's fine. You could do worse. Then I also saw Wonderstruck. Finally, this is just a sweet, charming movie.
I walked out of VIFF and everybody hated that film.
Really?
Around me. And I'm like, I thought that film was really sweet, nice. And
yeah.
It was, like, this really cool, like, melding of two stories. And it was freaking silent for most of it.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have worked at all. But why am I so impressed with this film? They're all like, it's stupid. It's really, it's overly sentimental. And I'm just like, oh, that's so not the film that I got out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. The two children, of course, take place in different eras. And they're the common thread between the two of them is they're both deaf. And they have some challenges they have to face. And they both go to, is it New York they went to?
Yep.
Went to New York to seek their own kind of thing. And I was rooting for them the whole time. And I just had a smirk on my face the whole time and felt like they were hugging my heart. And I was like, man, I really enjoyed that.
I'm glad you liked it. Like, yeah. I felt like I was on island off that one. Like, nobody I knew liked it.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's
and
really
it, and
weird.
It was the closing film of VIFF, and then it just disappeared.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, nothing. It opened in Vancouver for a week and then never opened here.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So
that
they
so
buried
brutal.
It.
Yeah.
But I think it's a lovely film.
That's a shame.
And check it out on Netflix when it cuts there, because I think you might be actually impressed by it.
Yeah, that's right. Wonderstruck, really enjoyed that. Then I saw Hostiles, which you recommended highly, and I'm glad you did. It's a freaking badass movie.
Totally,
man. Yeah. It's so, like,
I kind of love uncompromising westerns.
Oh, yeah.
And that movie's just kind of brutal at times.
It's so brutal.
Yeah.
Within 2 minutes, you're just going, oh, did they just do that?
Yep.
Oh, man.
And really, what more can we say about Christian Bale?
Oh, he's the best.
Yeah. He's you know, and Rosamund Pike's really good in it.
Oh, she's great.
And there's Native American actors in it.
That's right.
And they speak.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't punch women.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Speaking of that, Adam Beach is in the film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she speaks.
And he's really good.
And the Great West Studios in the film.
Yeah.
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 It's a brutally uncompromising film, and I watch films like this all day long, man.
Oh, yeah.
I like a good Western, and this hits hit my spot.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And it's got a huge cast, like that young kid.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet's in it.
Yeah, he's in it. Ben Foster, the guy from CSI Miami's in it.
is it just me, or is it like every time Ben Foster comes on my screen, you're just like, oh, get the gun.
Punch that dude in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know something's going to go wrong, yeah. But he's so good at it.
Yeah.
He has a couple speeches in Hostiles where you're just like, you go, Ben Foster.
Man.
You should have won awards by now. He's so good.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
I love him. And yeah, he was really good in 310 to Yuma as well.
Yeah.
Which is another wicked Western. So yeah, I really enjoyed Hostiles, even though it was pretty damn hard to watch at times. I enjoy that kind of experience.
Yeah. It's violent.
Yeah.
When you don't think it's going to be violent, like an Indian walks up to a guy and scalps him.
Yeah.
And it shows it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit.
See the blood? Yeah, you see his hair? His skin dangling? Oh, it's hardcore, dude. So, Hostiles, check it out. I think it's opening as of this.
Yeah, I think it opens here next week, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I saw Call Me By Your Name, which I enjoyed quite a bit. The performances, really outstanding. Armie Hammer and Timothy, how do you say
his Chalamet. Name?
Chalamet. They were great together, I thought. You're probably noticing I'm not singing its praises the way most people do.
So I'm at VIFF, and I'm sitting with Zach Mosley. You know Zach.
Oh, yeah.
And we both look at each other, and we're like, something missing from that film.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is, but it's good.
Yeah.
But this is not the great film everybody is talking about.
Yeah.
And here's my thing. If you take away that final scene with Michael Stahlberg speech,
yeah,
that's a 3.5-star film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good, but it's not great.
Yeah.
That scene elevates the hell out of the film.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's and the final shot is outstanding.
The credit scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
The audacity to like do that. Like I sat there watching that. I was like, holy crap, they're just gonna hang on that shot, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's been going on for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. I'm really glad I watched it, and I do wish I enjoyed it as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
That's fine though.
I love the performances. I want to live in the world.
Oh yeah.
It's such a beautifully shot film. I think it's really nice. I think it's really beautiful. I rated it 4.5 out of 5. I think it's a really damn good film.
Oh yeah.
I just don't think it's the best film of the year or it's the best picture winner.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you.
I'll play ball on saying it's a good film, but yeah, I don't think it's the best film of the year.
Yeah, yeah. It's it's all about the performances for me, and I'm not sure how many scenes we need to dedicate to them commenting on his Armie Hammer's later. How many scenes you need of that?
I really enjoyed a bunch of things Armie Hammer did in that film. Like that scene where he dances, I think is really great. Oh,
such a goofball.
Yeah, such a goofball. And just his shorts.
Yeah.
How like annoyingly short they are. Yeah. Just like, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he has really great hair.
He does.
My God. Oh, I wish I had hair. Like, my hair goes everywhere.
Yeah.
I wish I had hair like he did.
Yeah. I'm really glad I watched it though. It's really, really good film.
Yeah, definitely do a lot worse than that film.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, I believe Bright from Netflix. I really wanted to enjoy this, but I just, Will Smith ruined it for me. I realized it's been since Men in Black 1 or something since I've really, I don't know, I'm exaggerating there, but it's been a while since I've really enjoyed a Will Smith movie. I think that he just takes the script and he's like, I'm just going to do my Will Smith-isms through the whole damn movie.
Except for he never swears in any movie. For this one where every second word out of his mouth was fuck.
Yeah.
And it sounded really weird.
It did.
Plus, the Joel Edgerton character was so weirdly written. It's like he hadn't gone through police academy. He knew nothing about being a cop. Except for he was a cop.
That's true. Yeah.
And it made like, ooh, should I stand behind you? You took the fucking course, dude. Figure it out.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Joel Edgerton in this, though.
Oh,
he was trying. He was trying with what he was given, which was a Max Landis script.
Oh, God, I hate Max Landis.
Yeah.
God, I hate Max Landis.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a scene at the end of the film where, like, the orc tribe, like embraces the Joel Edgerton character.
Yeah.
And it's the corniest scene I've seen in a film this entire year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I hated that film. Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of down the middle on it. Didn't hate it. Didn't love it.
Other than my odd attraction for the woman, the orc, the woman trying to find the wand,
the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Yeah, she's oddly attractive.
She's beautiful
for that. Having like a really weird look. But yeah, that's about it. Like other than I thought the world was decent.
Yeah,
they set it up like it was a cool thing. But man, that Landis script.
Mm-hmm.
I know you liked American Ultra.
I love American Ultra.
I think he's like just one of the worst writers in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in Chronicle, I love that movie too.
Yeah, but that was just a complete fluke. Yeah,
that's right.
I shouldn't be so mean, but
okay. I think we've dedicated enough time to Max Landis for the year. Then I watched AlphaGo, the documentary you've been recommending for months now.
Yes.
Oh, dude, this is badass, man.
Did you ever think that you'd be so enthralled by some South Korean dude playing a computer?
Never.
In Go?
I was like on the edge of my seat.
And how it's almost like a Hitchcock film?
Oh, it totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's man versus machine.
Like if you had any idea where that film was going, you're lying to yourself. Like that film goes in different places every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Well, I knew because of a previous podcast I listened to.
Oh, nice.
Where the person was like, here's what happens. And I was like,
damn.
Too bad. But I still really enjoyed it. I was still on the edge of my seat.
That was such a major discovery at the film festival. Everybody was talking about AlphaGo.
Yeah.
And I was so happy that it got added to Netflix.
It's awesome.
I saw it on the main page. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to watch AlphaGo.
Yeah.
I told everybody about it.
And right on. Yeah.
I'm happy you got to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm happy you liked it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. AlphaGo is great. So check it out. Watch Pitch Perfect 3, which I describe as when you put some bread in a toaster and you toast it and it, you know, the bread pops up, the toast is ready, and you go in your fridge and you're like, oh man, I just have a little bit of butter left. And you try to spread it across both pieces, but it's just dry bland and gross.
That was the second film.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they made another one.
Yeah, yeah. This one, did you see
Pitch Perfect? No, God, no.
Oh, God, man.
God, no.
It's so bad. It's Fat Amy has John Lithgow as her father, and for some reason he thinks he needs to speak in an Australian accent. Wow. It's just the worst thing you've ever heard, and it's all about her with her Fat Amy-isms.
Why did they expand her role? She was so tired in the second film.
Yeah.
She was good in the first film, I'll give you that, but it was all the same shit in the second one, so let's make a third.
Yeah, it's the Mater thing, right, from Cars.
Hey, I like Cars 3.
Oh, that's right, I didn't see Cars 3.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Okay.
But yeah, it was. I flipped a coin and watched Jumanji instead, and it was fucking terrible. Okay. So
lose.
Yeah,
and Anna Kendrick's character gets offered a big opportunity. She's like, "What about my group?" But in the previous two movies, she's trying to get a career. It's like,
I was like, isn't that the same fucking thing again?
It is.
Oh my God,
so bad.
Write something original, Max Landis. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'd do that again. Yeah. I hate Max Landis.
Yeah. So thankfully, I think that franchise is finished.
Yeah, good.
Then I watched Darkest Hour, which I liked, but just I just
took forever to get going.
It did.
The last act is really good, though.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just period pieces. I'm always very leery of those. I don't know why it is. I have my defenses up when I watch them, and it just feels like we're going through all the checklists. And what's that filmmaker's name again?
Joe Wright.
Joe Wright. I don't think I quite have the Joe Wright gene in my body. I thought it was okay. And Oldman I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a good movie, not a great movie. Yeah. And I think he's a good actor, and he's really good in the film.
Yeah.
But it's dry for the first hour.
Yeah.
Really dry.
It is.
And then it picks up.
Yeah.
And it's quite good.
Yeah.
It's enough to recommend it, but maybe not to everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe if you like history, watch Dunkirk. It's way better.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Then I finally, a couple days ago, finally watched Phantom Thread. I knew the biggest plot point in the movie going in, which really sucked.
That does. That's unexcusable.
Yeah.
We should say the person who did its name just to shame them.
Yeah,
I don't even feel like it.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the movie anyway, like even knowing what's going to happen. I love Paul. Paul Thomas Anderson. If there's a gene that I have for sure, it's the Paul Thomas Anderson gene and Daniel Day-Lewis. And I don't know how to pronounce that woman's name.
Vicky Kripes.
Is that it? Vicky Kripes? Okay. She is something else, man. I love her in this movie.
How about my girl Leslie Manville?
Leslie Manville's outstanding.
From another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is so good in this.
There's a scene in the film where she dresses down Daniel Day-Lewis and kills him.
Oh yeah,
in one line.
Yeah,
it's just like if you even come near me, I will take you down. It's so amazing.
Yeah,
I love Daniel Day-Lewis, and it's his last film.
Yeah,
just the little things he does in the film, like when she's eating toast, he like grinds his teeth to the rhythm of her moving the knife over the toast.
Yeah,
it's like weird shit like that.
Yeah,
I'm like, you are so great.
Yeah,
and I love his type A OCD in the film.
Oh yeah,
because I think that's probably Daniel Day-Lewis in real life. It's he's so weird,
precise.
Yeah,
meticulous.
You can't really talk about the plot. It's kind of a spoiler to Steven, like, talk about the plot.
Right.
But it's a special film.
Yeah.
It's really weird that he can go from like Inherent Vice to Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
And it's just as good.
Oh yeah.
The lighting, there's like natural light throughout that entire film. It's scary how good it is.
Yeah.
He's just a special talent. Everybody who made, he didn't have a DP.
Oh really? Oh,
it was just him and his cameraman.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah. There's no DP on the film.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Oh man. It's a special film. And just a side note. No, I don't think I'm going to go down that path because it's
spoilers. Spoilery. Yeah. Like the whole film. Like, you can't really talk too much about it.
But there was an article that I read from Playboy that,
just reading the article, sir.
Did you read it?
No way.
Oh, no, it's on the website. So I was browsing. But it cut down the film for all the wrong reasons and just taking someone else's own bullshit into the movie and applying it to this. And it doesn't apply at all.
It's also surprisingly funny.
It is so funny.
I know. These weird little lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like one tiny little non-spoiler thing. He has these like fangirls approach him and they're like, I hope I'm lucky enough to get buried in one of your dresses or something like that. And he's like, oh, well, good luck with that kind of thing. And it was just, the whole exchange was so funny. And really, really enjoyed this.
Awesome. I hope it didn't make your top 10 very hard to do.
No, if anything, it helped.
Nice.
Helped make things a little bit easier.
Phantom Thread was the film. There's always one film that makes it so we can't make our top 10 until like the third week of January.
Yeah, that's right.
Other than the fact that I saw Phantom Thread on December 4th.
You did. Yeah. I would have joined you, but I had work shit I had to take care of. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
My last, I think this is it for me for Lightning Round. I saw Insidious, The Last Key, and absolutely loved it.
I saw it too.
Did you? What did you think?
Lin Shaye forever.
Yeah, dude. She's awesome.
I don't think it's a very good film,
okay,
but I think she's amazing.
Yeah.
And she's always been amazing and has always deserved the due that she hopefully will get with this movie.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Genre / horror films, their actresses typically get overlooked in terms of talent and, you know, conversation of best of the year. And I'm not saying that this is best of the year material, but it's damn good.
Yeah. It's what it is. It's an Insidious film.
Yeah.
I'm not into horror films like this. Never really have been.
Okay.
But I know you like them.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I saw it because you said it was good. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was bad.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of predictable at times. Kind of stupid.
Totally is.
But as I said, Lin Shaye forever.
Yeah, man. I compare it to, you know, going on one of those scary haunted house rides. You know, you kind of know stuff's going to pop out. And just the build up for me was really good. And I forgot the name of the filmmaker. I should have written this down. But I thought he did a good job of capturing the essence of James Wan without trying to just completely steal his technique. I thought he had his own thing going on, and I really appreciated that. And the set design was outstanding, so really enjoyed Insidious: The Last Key. I wasn't too sure if I would.
Yeah, I said I'd never see it, but I did, and I wasn't mad that I did.
Right, so
that's a plus right there.
Cool.
Is that it for you?
That's it.
Okay, I got a few. I saw Ferdinand with John Cena as a bull.
Oh yeah, how was that?
Very predictable and kind of stupid.
Okay,
even for a dumb kids movie, I wasn't really a fan at all. Can't really say much about it because I didn't like it at all.
Okay.
Nice. we talked about I, Tonya, I talked about Darkest Hour. Film stars don't die in Liverpool. It's supposed to be a big Oscar film, and then people watched it, and it became a not an Oscar film, because it's not very good. Annette Bening is okay, but she didn't get a nomination for 20th Century Women last year, so she won't get one for this. Jamie Bell's good in it, too. It's just a kind of a dumb plot I didn't care about.
Okay.
Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, is absolutely fucking terrible.
Oh, really?
It's everything I thought it would be, plus more. Just Kevin Hart screaming a lot, The Rock looking dumb, Karen Gillan looking hot, Jack Black playing an effeminate person. It's awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
As advertised.
Yeah. It almost made my worst of the year list. It's wow. That bad.
Wow.
All the Money in the World couldn't save this film. Even Ridley Scott trying to fix it couldn't fix this film. And you know what the problem is? Mark Wahlberg sucks.
Okay.
When he's up against other people who can act, he looks like a sore thumb.
Okay.
Against like Michelle Williams,
yeah,
who's a really good actress, or Christopher Plummer. They all act him.
And he got paid on that movie, didn't he?
Yeah. Really, really quite shadily.
Yeah.
It's not very good either. We talked about Bright. The Commuter. The new Liam Neeson yearly kick-ass film. The subgenre now, it seems.
It is.
Every year there's one. This one's actually kind of good.
Okay.
It's because the train works.
Okay.
You know how the train worked in Train to Busan? It's not not as good as that film.
Right.
But it still kind of works. It's shot really well. It's still really stupid. And it's still a Liam Neeson film. But yeah, it's a January film. And it's better than it probably should be. It's cool. It's like a three all day.
Nice. Sometimes that's all you need.
What I kind of expected it to be a two. So yeah, that's good. Paddington 2. I'm like the only person who doesn't think this is going to be like the best film of the year. It's good. I liked it. But man, everybody calm down. It's good, but it's not great. It's got some problems, mostly involving Hugh Grant.
Okay.
Who's really flamboyant in it. And it drove me kind of nuts.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really sweet, nice, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
My little cousin absolutely adored it.
Cool.
So that's that.
Right.
Talked about Insidious. So Netflix has a 5-hour new Errol Morris film called Wormwood, which is probably a good hour too long, but it's really good, about this guy who finds out that his dad was more or less killed by the CIA. They gave him acid and he jumped out of a window.
Oh, wow.
And they covered it up.
Crazy.
Yeah. And he wanted answers. And this is kind of the documentary about the answers. It's really good. It's just way too long.
Okay.
It's way too long. Yeah. I love Errol Morris, but man, I think you watched these, the two new Dave Chappelle specials.
I watched the first one.
On Netflix.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah.
Did you watch the one in the club or the one in the...
It was a stage concert kind of thing.
Yeah. The one where he's in the comedy club isn't as good as the one where he's in like the big giant building.
Okay.
The one in the comedy club is more like a spoken word performance.
Okay.
But it's good too. They're both good. He's edgy. I like edgy comedy. So I don't want my comedy to be sanitized.
Safe.
Yeah. Comedians are supposed to push the envelope.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Chappelle pushes the envelope.
He does.
So I like that. We talked about Hostiles. 12 Strong. I saw this today.
Okay, yeah.
With Thor going to the Middle East to fight the Taliban after 9/11 on horses. It's not bad, but you can... It's a January movie. If it had been any better, it would have opened in August or March.
Yeah.
This is where they dump films that don't quite work, and this one doesn't quite work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, Den of Thieves, which is Michael Mann's Heat without Robert De Niro or Al Pacino, but Gerald Butler.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's a bank heist film. It's just like Heat with Gerald Butler.
He didn't have a White House Down movie to make this year.
So
or
bad.
Is this it? I guess.
No, it's so bad. It's super long too. It's not good at all.
Too bad.
There's Gerald Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't find somebody else better than that.
Yeah.
I watched the American remake of Inside. Have you ever seen Inside?
No, I haven't.
The French horror film.
No.
Kind of notorious for a pregnant woman being attacked by a woman carrying some scissors.
Okay.
And she's trying to get the baby out with the scissors.
Oh, wow.
French horror had like a new wave a couple of years ago. There was like High Tension and Inside and Martyrs.
Oh, Martyrs.
And they were all super notoriously violent and gross. This is kind of the American sanitized version of it.
Oh, okay.
And it's not very good. It loses all of its shock and skill and ability that the French one had. The French one was super tight because you had no idea what was going on. It was super freaky.
Yeah.
This one has none of that.
Oh, too bad.
And last but not least, I rewatched Mom and Dad.
Oh, cool.
Remember that one from Fantastic Fest?
Oh, the Nicolas Cage movie? Nice. How was that?
It's good. I like, he goes full Cage, man.
Yeah.
It's so good.
It's so much fun.
Yeah, and it has a couple of really cool cameos in it that I totally forgot about.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. It's quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's on VOD. It's on nice. iTunes and everything. Right. Check on. It out.
Yeah.
Kind of recommend it.
It's got some good gags, some fun new twist on the sort of zombie genre. And yeah, Nicolas Cage, man.
Yeah.
Going full Cage.
And Selma Blair is pretty good in it, too.
She's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Cool. I forgot I have one more.
Do you?
Molly's Game.
Well, nice.
Which I enjoyed. I don't know if I enjoyed it quite a bit. It was about 3.5 out of 5, probably, for
where
me.
Where I put it, too.
Yeah, just I thought it fizzled at the end a little bit. And
yeah, it's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That thing had been 2 hours.
Yeah.
It would have been tight.
Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of the whole Kevin Costner storyline.
Yeah.
Could have done without that.
Yeah, for sure.
But the poker stuff and like the whole world that she built, I had a really fun time.
So we'll probably get sued if we say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. So the Michael Cera character is Tobey Maguire, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, what a dick he was.
Totally.
Totally screwed her over.
Yeah, you always heard about Tobey Maguire in his poker game.
And talking about how he likes to take other people's money and stuff.
Yeah.
Just, what a bad dude.
And then he never worked in Hollywood again.
That's right.
I wonder why.
Yeah, so that's it. I guess that's it for Lightning Round.
Cool. So we're caught up on that.
Sweet. Finally, you ready to do the movie club?
Sure.
Let's get into it. Let's talk about movie clubs. I'll pass this over to Bill, but just a quick intro. If you're new to this, every episode, except for the last few, Bill picks a movie. We watch it. It's always something I haven't seen, and it's kind of targeted towards, you know, expanding my horizons and my cinema knowledge. And I haven't loved every one of them, but that's okay, though. It's fun just to watch a movie and talk about it. And, you know, it would be a boring show if we agreed on every single movie.
Plus, I didn't pick this film.
That's right.
And I rewatched it. I'm like, oh shit, Adrian's gonna hate this film. So the film is Spirit of the Beehive from 1973 from director Victor E. Rice, from Spain. Before I even start, did you like the film?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Like I watched it again. I'm like, oh, he's gonna not like this film. I think it's really beautiful.
Okay,
I think it's really stunningly shot.
It is.
The kids are really amazing. And I love the whole dynamic about the sisters. After watching like a print of the 1930 version of Frankenstein, a little girl is like completely traumatized by it because her sister just tells her a bunch of like false facts about the movie, and it completely screws with her. And I love that whole dynamic because I don't know when I was a kid, my brother was like, "Yeah, see that shadow over there? Yeah, that's Freddy Krueger."
Oh yeah,
yeah. He was my brother always did stuff like that to me.
We did shit like that with Jaws too. Just swimming in the ocean, like, oh yeah, Jaws. He's been spotted over there before.
Yeah. So I love that stuff. The stuff of the soldier is okay. Like it's like okay. It's nothing major. But I love the ending. I love the whole idea of like her still being kind of traumatized by it. And is there really much to say about this? If you don't like the film, like I don't know.
Yeah.
I can keep on going about how much I like it, but my buddy Nick's gonna kill you.
All good. All good. Wait till I'm at least fully recovered. So
no, but
I tried though.
Totally.
I sat down and watched it. I did appreciate the way it was shot and the framework of the story. I really enjoyed. I just didn't know where it was going, and I had a hard time staying focused while watching it because I kept asking myself like, why am I watching this? Why am I interested in these characters?
And, nice.
Did you
like the little 7-year-old girl?
Oh, she's great.
Yeah,
yeah. I thought she was outstanding. And I did enjoy the whole theatrical experience. Like I thought that was a really interesting piece of history there, because a
traveling roadshow.
Yeah, we've never seen that
of a print.
Yeah.
Of Frankenstein, and it's literally they go into a it's almost like a church.
Yeah.
And there's like a white piece of like paper on the wall, more
yeah.
or less.
Yeah.
And they screen it. They have a projector in the back, and they all sit on the ground and watch Frankenstein.
Oh yeah. And for some people, it fucked them up.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed that concept.
I love how the whole concept of Frankenstein is that he killed the little girl because he thought she would float like the flower.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I love how that dynamic is really cool in the film. Mm-hmm. How she the sister's like, oh yeah, he's not dead, he's a spirit, and mm-hmm. if you call his name, he'll come to you. And I'm like, oh, this yeah. sister is such a bitch.
Yeah. A little asshole.
Yeah,
for sure.
I love it.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's super slow. Yeah. But I don't know. I like films like this,
mm-hmm.
and I understand why it's my buddy Nick's favorite film, because I think it's
cool.
I think it's a really cool film.
Yeah.
Sorry, you didn't like it.
Yeah, you win some, you lose some. It's all good.
Yeah. I don't know if we just spend much more time on this one, but I think I'm coming back with a vengeance here.
Because
I picked this one.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I got the new Suspiria Blu-ray.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The new 4K remastered. Took 4 years to make, the transferred perfect
nice.
Blu-ray version. Yeah. I traveled to Vancouver to get it.
Wow.
A one-day trip, because I didn't want to get sold out on it.
Yeah.
They only made 6,000 of them.
That's
so
insane.
Yeah. So this movie club pick is Suspiria from 1977 from director Dario Argento. One of my favorite horror movies of all time.
Sweet.
It's the best opening ever of a horror film.
Wow.
The first 15 minutes of this film is the greatest piece of horror film ever made.
Nice.
As far as I'm concerned.
Right on.
Yeah. So many weird things about this film, how it's been like redubbed.
Yeah.
They all spoke in English, but they all didn't speak English.
Oh, really?
So they all phonetically said it, and it's all been ADR'd. You'll understand.
Wow. Yeah.
Every Argento film has been ADR'd.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, I hope you like it.
Cool.
If you don't, it's the end of Movie Club. But it's cool.
Right
I don't
on.
Care. But yeah, it's one of my favorite horror films of all time.
Nice.
And the Blu-ray is stunning.
Sweet.
Stunning.
Sweet. Yeah, I can't wait to check it out, man. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. And we were hoping, a lot of us were hoping it would play Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
Restored it. And they even sold a pin for Suspiria. And there's a lot of... Anyway, it's in the past.
Something happened?
Something happened.
You mean a film got canceled at Fantastic Fest this year?
That's weird.
Weird.
Can't imagine that happening.
No. But legit, Synapse Films restored this film for 4 years.
Wicked.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's pretty amazing.
Can't wait to check it out.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's Movie Club. And just a note on Movie Club, you can participate at home as well. You can watch Suspiria. Send your thoughts to us on Twitter or Facebook. And we'll be happy to read your thoughts on the next episode where we talk about Suspiria. And it can be any previous Movie Club movies. So if you've listened to something from months ago and you want to send us your thoughts, we'll definitely read them out as well. It can apply to any Movie Club movie we've talked about in the past. Okay, so it's time for the main event, our top 10 of 2017 lists.
What's that you say, Adrian? Are my lists definitive?
I did not say that. I think you said that.
I did.
Yeah.
My lists are definitive.
Bill always gives me a hard time because I left X movie off top 10 and all this stuff. And it's always fun.
I'm going to try not to laugh at your list this year.
Thanks, man.
I'm nice Bill now.
Yeah, that's right. I remember, was it The Raid 2?
Yeah.
When I said The Raid 2, Bill burst into laughter. I was like, whoa, dude, what the fuck? Dude.
Yeah, that was a good show.
Yeah, that was fun. That was fun. So,
but yeah, top 10.
That's right.
More like top 20.
Yeah.
Like it always is.
Oh, yeah.
We always say top 10, but we both always do a 20.
Yeah.
Because, you know, fuck rules.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, what we're going to do with this format is we'll talk about top 10. We'll count them down 10 to 1. And if we have any overlap, if I say X movie and you're like, yeah, it's on my list, but it's a bit higher, we'll both talk about it then and we'll just keep moving through it that way.
Yeah. Pretty easy format.
Yeah.
Bottom three.
And then the bottom three.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably have your miscellaneous list.
I got a few things.
Albums and TV shows and whatnot.
I got a few things before we start, though.
Cool.
Because it's our year-end show, I just want to say thanks to everybody who I saw a movie with this year.
Yeah, man.
If that was, you know, either a regular movie showing or like a 24-hour movie marathon or at a film festival or just, you know, somewhere.
Yeah.
Love you all.
Yeah.
Thanks for watching movies with me.
Yeah.
Now, what I always do. Adrian Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember your number one film of last year?
Oh, last year. Man. Shoot. I should have listened to that episode.
We both had the same number one. It might have been the first time ever.
Oh, Moonlight.
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 Correct.
Boom.
Adrian Charlie.
Yeah.
Do you remember your number one film at the mid-year point?
Mid-year point. That was, man, mid-year point. I'm not looking at my list.
Here's a hint. It was on my list last year.
Okay. So it wasn't Okja. Well, it wasn't out then, was it?
I think it might have been.
Okay.
I'll put you out of your misery.
Sure.
Personal Shopper.
Oh, that's right. Personal Shopper.
And my number one was Logan.
Cool. Right on.
Where will those films be?
Where will they end up? We'll see.
These are the days of our lives.
That's right.
Top 10.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows of the year. I like these shows.
Yeah, these are always fun.
Yeah. And plus, I got some friends to give us some lists, and they've all got different stuff, too.
That's awesome.
I like that shit.
That's cool.
But yeah. Do you want to start?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll start it off.
Yeah.
Number 10, A Ghost Story, David Lowery's film.
Higher on my list.
Nice. Yeah. Just my quick notes here. One of the strongest emotional reactions I had all year at the movies. Rooney Mara's outstanding in this role. Captures the spirit of mourning while considering space and time. Are we insignificant? Are we significant? Do we love too much? Too little? How do we make our mark in this world? This is a massive movie. For such a small movie, it's jam-packed with ideas, and I love that.
And how can a film be interesting where a dude just walks around in a sheet over his head like a ghost?
Yeah.
And it's like metaphysical and science fiction groundbreaking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Rooney Mara eats a pie for 5 minutes, and you think, wow, that's gonna suck.
Yeah.
Except for by like the 3 minute mark, you think it's genius.
Oh, absolutely.
It's weird.
Absolutely.
Little side note. Might have been the greatest day of film this year. Adrian and I went to Vancouver and we saw Dunkirk in 70mm.
That was awesome.
And then like a half hour later, we ran to the theater
and
watched A Ghost Story.
That's right.
And holy shit, was that a good day.
That was a great day.
Yeah. I don't think you knew too much about the film.
Yeah.
And we were with Melissa McDowell, and I don't think she knew much about the film either.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it really kicked her ass too.
Yeah.
And I know we got out of that film and we're all just like,
speechless.
Film.
Oh,
It was like, holy crap, that film is absolutely genius.
Yeah.
And yeah, David Lowery, other than Peace Dragon... Sorry, because Ain't That Bonnie Saints is really great.
That's a great film.
But yeah, this is it's higher on my list.
Yeah.
We'll get there eventually.
Oh yeah.
My number 10 is a film Adrian hasn't seen.
Okay,
thought he was gonna watch it today. Actually,
I was hoping to. I just
ran out of time.
Slacked. Yeah.
Columbus.
Yeah.
A film about people meeting at a crossroads in their life where they really need somebody to talk to about stuff going on in their life and architecture.
Yeah.
That sounds really weird.
Yeah.
They talk about architecture and why is this working? Why am I so into this film? It should be really boring.
Yeah.
Except for it's not. It really gets to me. And the fact that I still think it's the best female performance I've seen this year, period.
Cool.
Haley Lou Richardson is fucking amazing in this film.
Right on.
And John Cho is not too bad either.
Right on.
I think it's a brilliant film that nobody is talking about nobody has seen. It shouldn't work, but damn it, does it work.
Right on.
I think it's a bloody masterpiece.
Right on, dude.
One of my favorite like little indie surprises of the year.
Yeah.
Columbus.
Right on.
Number 10.
Yeah, you've been singing its praises since VIFF, and I've had it for a while now. And
I cried so much watching this film.
Wow.
It freaked me out.
Yeah. Right
on. It just resonated with me on some weird intellectual level that it was weird. I was the only person in the audience crying too. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, that weird we would talk about when we like saw a Trip to Spain and we were the only people laughing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was like that, but I was the only person crying.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah, some people, they just, I think they feel apprehensive about expressing emotions in public. It's weird.
I tried not to.
You're at the movies.
it was just like, oh my God, like this movie is so great. I have to express somehow how this movie is affecting me.
Yeah.
And then this shit started coming from my cheeks.
That's awesome.
Down and yeah, it was
awesome.
It's a brilliant film. I hope everybody finally gets to catch up with it. I believe it's on Hulu for free if you want to watch it, if you have a Hulu account.
Right on.
Watch it on Hulu, friends.
Yeah, check it out.
Yeah.
Right on. So, we're we're on to my number 9, The Florida Project.
Higher on my list.
Yeah, I thought it would be higher on mine. This is just where it ended up. It was a really great year at the movies.
Can we debunk that?
Yeah.
There's maybe 25 to 30 good movies, and then it falls off an absolute cliff.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I would say that the top stuff, though, is
The top stuff is really great.
Yeah.
But man, this wasn't a terribly great year for movies.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I listened to our halfway show to figure out what our number ones were, and we were talking about how crappy the year was.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But The Florida Project, Sean Baker's latest film starring Willem Dafoe, Brooklyn Prince, and not sure to pronounce the name, Bria Venate. Beautiful film about the people that society often forgets or tries to sweep under the rug. Poor people. And Sean Baker finds a way to give them this beautiful human spirit. And I just love the way he finds beauty in the places that most people tend to forget. And Willem Dafoe's gentle touch is very subtle, but so effective. It's probably my favorite Willem Dafoe performance to date. And the children are wonderful. And the ending, it's an all-timer.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'll take away from the film is just how absolutely just jaw-droppingly, like I was so amazed by that ending. I remember just sitting there with my jaw like on the ground, and I didn't want to get up. I was just like, did he just do that?
Yeah.
Did he really just do that?
Yeah.
And it was perfect. Amazing. The film was amazing. Best kid acting in a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
And I usually am not into kid acting at all. It's a really fine line.
Oh, yeah.
They're either really terrible or they're good.
Yeah.
They're never great.
Oh, yeah.
But they're great in this film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Sean Baker is, you know, his last film he shot with an iPhone.
That's right.
So
that's crazy.
This is, and that looked really great too. Mm-hmm. I love how this like gross hotel looks so bright.
Oh yeah.
Everything is so beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a harsh subject, but man, there's beauty in that harshness.
Oh yeah.
And he shows it, and I think it's a really amazing film.
Yeah, and I think it's very fitting that it's in the sort of backyard of Disney World.
It's like two blocks from Disneyland.
Yeah, and that was actually the original name for Disney World, it was the Florida Project. So that's where they got the name.
All the stores around it are like discount Disney tickets or or knockoff Disney toys.
That's
it's so gross.
Yeah. It's a man, it's a special movie though.
And definitely.
If you haven't seen it, check it out as soon as you can.
Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on you. And check it out when it comes out on demand.
All right, so my number 9 is Lady Bird.
Nice.
Greta Gerwig.
Right on.
Higher on your list?
Not on my list.
Wow.
Yeah.
The first surprise.
Yeah.
First. Yeah. All yeah. right. Cool.
I, that's first. I think there might be one more.
Okay, cool. All right. We talked about this one last episode, I think.
Yeah.
She's just made a film that just showed the coming of age of a female woman in such a way that I thought was so relatable, like the parent to sibling, parent to children dynamic.
How
people just don't get their kids. My parents didn't really get me. I don't know about you, but and just Saoirse Ronan just acting her ass off, and the great Laurie Metcalf and Tracy Letts just being spectacular.
Oh yeah,
I wasn't so into this the first time I saw it, but weirdly the second viewing of it just hit. I don't know what the hell happened.
Yeah,
it's really rare when that happens.
Yeah,
the first time I saw Rachel Getting Married, I was really iffy on it. Then the second time I watched it was my number one film of the year.
Nice.
And this, it's sort of like happened again with this film.
Oh wow.
I'm a late bloomer to it. I don't know. But yeah, I think it's a really special film, and it's making money and people seem to like it. So that's great, because Greta Gerwig is awesome.
Oh yeah.
We've been championing her for a while as an actress, but wow, she killed it here.
Yeah.
So yeah, my number 9, Lady Bird.
Right on, dude. It killed me to leave Lady Bird off my top 10. So just, I'll throw that disclaimer in there. My number 8, which I don't think this will be on your list, Okja.
Later.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we'll say that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okja, Bong Joon-ho, really exciting filmmaker. It's, if you're unaware, it's on Netflix. You have no excuse. You should watch Okja. It's, for me, it was a very fresh story on what would normally be quote-unquote a boy in his beast. And Instead, it's a little girl and her beast. Mija's love for Okja's beautiful thing to witness. Everything in this film is cranked to 11, and it also serves as a cautionary tale for the way we consume resources and the way, quote-unquote, the man can manipulate. The film offers a ton of love, ton of hope. Swinton, Gyllenhaal, Paul Dano are outstanding, and it's a shame people have forgotten about this movie already.
There's a scene with Paul Dano in it where he's in a hotel holding cue cards up I think might be one of my favorite scenes of the year.
Yeah.
We talked about it on Twitter with some people, I think.
Yeah, Melissa.
Yeah, how he like slithers down like a fire escape like he's Fred Astaire.
Yeah.
And it's perfection.
Yeah.
And Jake Gyllenhaal has never been better. He is so out there in this film. Yeah. I don't know what direction he had on his performance.
Yeah.
It's not to 11, it's to 15.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, it's insane.
And it fits this world perfectly. And Swinton, she's right up there too.
Yeah.
I love this movie, it's beautiful, and there's an emotional beat towards the end that just, even just thinking about it gets me all choked up.
Yeah.
And man, this movie really hits hard in all the right places, whether it's a funny comedic beat, whether it's heartwarming, or just the deepest melancholy you can feel. I love Okja.
I feel really quite blessed to have seen this on the big screen.
That's right.
Yeah, I saw it at a film festival on a big screen, and the director was there for a Q&A after via Skype.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. I wish they had done a theatrical run on this one.
Yeah.
I would love to you've seen it.
That would have been awesome.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
That was your number eight?
That was number eight.
My number eight is Faces Places.
Wicked, wicked.
On your top?
It's not a top 10.
Okay, cool.
It's later.
Yeah, we just talked about this one.
Yeah.
JR and Agnes Varda being the sweetest, most kind people in the world who just put a giant smile on my face. It's the sweetest film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't walk out of that film with a giant smile on your face, you're Satan.
That's true.
You're
actually Satan.
It is so wonderful and lovely. And I hope that isn't her last film, because I think she still has so much life to give.
Oh, yeah.
Just from that film alone, I saw it.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not her last film, and hopefully we get more stuff from JR.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
The first town they visit, I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
No.
Like, but it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That is so badass, dude. Yeah, Faces Places rules, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my favorite documentary of the year.
Right on.
Yeah,
right on.
There was a couple other ones that I liked. I liked Icarus. Did you see Icarus?
I saw about half of it, and I think that's when I was sick.
Okay.
So I couldn't stick with it, but I really enjoyed what I saw.
Yeah. Number eight, Faces Places.
Right on. Okay, so my number seven, here's where things get interesting. Personal Shopper. It was number one at the halfway mark.
That dropped I'm still happy it's in your top 10.
Yeah.
It was my number four last year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you say his name? Olivia Assayas?
Assayas, yeah.
Yeah. Kristen Stewart just absolutely destroying everybody on the planet with this performance. It's a story about, she lost her, it was her twin brother, right?
Twin brother.
They both have like this heart condition, and they both are
mediums. Yeah.
And they both had a pact to contact the other person from the other side in the event that one of them passes away. And that's all I want to say about the plot, because it's really something special. And it's, if you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. It's way out there, man. But if you've ever loved somebody and lost them, whether it's a family member, lover, friend, whatever, I think you can get a lot out of this movie. It's just a thrilling look at the way we mourn loved ones, and Stewart's best performance to date. And I think it's about time that people stop saying she's really good for Kristen Stewart. Like, let's just drop that, and let's just accept that she's one of the best working actresses going right now.
Yeah, there's another person from Twilight who I might be talking about later.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
Little hint there.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Personal Shopper is I think I've heard three or four different explanations about the film.
Cool.
And as far as I'm concerned, they're all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Take what you want from it.
Yeah.
We all have our different thought process, and that I think that's what makes movies really cool. If you're able to get something out of it that I'm not, or vice versa, I'm cool with that, man. Tough films all day. Ones that make me think all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is definitely one of them. I've seen it like four times.
Nice.
Great Criterion Blu-ray if you haven't bought it yet. Mm-hmm. It was my number four film of last year. I think it's brilliant.
There are two sequences in particular that just sent icy cold chills up and down my spine. Like, I was like, I felt cold. cold. My entire body felt cold, and that rarely ever happens for me. So
yeah,
love Personal Shopper.
I still remember saying to you, that film's really going to kick your ass, I think. And I'm happy that it did.
Yeah, for
That's
sure.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I don't like when I see films before you because I don't want to be like, dude, that film is so amazing.
Yeah.
And then it's like hype it up.
Yeah.
I'd rather you saw it the same time as me so we both had equal
footing
on it. But yeah. I'm glad this one actually hit for you.
Yeah.
All right. So my number seven was The Florida Project. We already talked about it.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. Go Sean Baker.
Go Sean Baker. And if you haven't seen any of his old stuff, check it out. Starlet's really good. It's on Netflix.
Right on.
Yeah.
We'll have to maybe movie club some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number six, I think you hinted at this already, Good Time.
Nice.
By Josh and Benny Safdie.
It's later on my list.
Okay.
It's not in my top 10, but it is on my list.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Robert Pattinson just completely dissolving into this role, playing a total scumbag from New York who wants to help out his brother, and he kind of doesn't care who he hurts in the process.
But it's that dedication to his brother that I think really sets the role apart.
Oh, totally.
You say he's a scumbag, but he's a very centered scumbag on one thing, and it's helping his brother.
Oh, yeah.
And it raises the role so much.
Oh, yeah. Good Time. I feel like Josh and Benny Safdie captured lightning in a bottle. It's a labor of love and a look at the underbelly of society. And we managed to root for Connie in a weird way because he's, as we mentioned, an awful human being. And his desperate acts are out of love for his brother. And damn anyone who gets in his way. It's also a harsh examination of mental health issues that affect all of us everywhere, whether you're a poor person struggling to make ends meet, or if you're the upper class in New York, like Jennifer Jason Leigh's character. There was something going on there which is never discussed openly, but
no.
You can make an argument for, she's a fully grown woman still living with her mom and
dating somebody who's pretty much 20 years younger than her.
And it's beautiful though.
And holy crap, is it like the best score of the year?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
It destroys, dude.
Yeah. And the Safdie brother, who's the brother? Is it Josh?
It is, I believe it's Benny.
It's Benny?
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He is.
The way he talks in the film, his like cadence, is nothing like his real life voice. Like I heard his real life voice, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Like that is great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
It's later on my list, but that means nothing. This year, though, as I said, there's some great movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my number six, Good Time.
My number six is BPM.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked.
Later or?
Not quite in top 10, but it is in there.
Cool. Yeah, we just talked about this one last episode or two ago. The French ACT UP AIDS movie where people had to fight to live, more or less. Companies holding back medicine that would, experimental medicine that might save them, but they had to really fight for everything. And it's sad, touching, and brutal, but at the same time, it's so uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
A film that pretty much destroyed me. I'll be pretty obvious.
Oh, yeah.
It was my favorite film at VIFF, and in any other year, this would have been like my number one film of the year. Some good films this year.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a really damn good film. Hasn't opened yet in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It got really screwed by Oscar.
Yeah.
But you got to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's an amazing film.
Yeah, it's great. So that was your number six?
Six.
Okay. My number five, which I don't think it'll be on your list, and that's okay. I'll forgive you. Your Name, animated films.
Later on my list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Man, this is stunning sci-fi that brings two teenagers together, a love story that rocked me to the core with stunning visuals, wonderful music, and characters I could root for. I've seen this a few times now. I've got the Blu-ray at home, and it doesn't get any worse with each viewing. It's beautiful stuff.
I haven't bought the Blu-ray yet.
Okay.
I would like to rewatch it. I never saw it theatrically either, which really pissed me off.
Yeah,
it's a stunning film. The biggest film in the world that nobody really talks about.
Mm-hmm.
It's made over $400 million, more or less, in Asia.
Yeah, that's right.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Makoto Shinkai, who is pretty much now the leading, he's like the Miyazaki of animation.
Yeah.
His film is so huge.
Yeah.
It's a really beautiful film. It probably shouldn't work. The story is really convoluted, but it really works.
It does.
Yeah. and we're not exactly like little girls either. This probably shouldn't work for us.
This should be the target audience. Should be like 16-year-old girls, kind of thing. But there's something beautiful about it that I just love so much.
Yeah, it's a great film. Yeah. Later on my list.
Okay, cool.
Number five is A Ghost Story. We already talked about it.
Nice.
It's really brilliant.
It is brilliant, man.
But not to mention, forgot to mention the aspect ratio.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, talk about that.
I love the aspect ratio. It looks like a freaking Polaroid.
Yeah.
It's even got like weird like bends in the frame.
Yeah.
It's so wicked. Yeah. Love it. Blu-ray's great too.
I wonder what they shot on. Like, is it 16 or?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. It's outstanding, man.
It's not my favorite 16mm film of the year.
Oh. We'll get to that later. Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm trying to think. All right. Cool.
You know, I'll talk about it.
Okay. So we're on to my number four.
Yeah.
Here's where Bill might shake his head at me, but I'm okay with that. I'm used to it. Number four, Blade Runner 2049, which I'm guessing is higher.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay. Okay. We'll talk about it. Denis Villeneuve. He's the man, dude. You want a good sci-fi movie? Get Denis Villeneuve on your team, dude.
He can do anything.
He can. Oh, yeah. Not just sci-fi.
No, he's proved that he can do anything. He can do a school shooting movie.
Yeah.
Or he can do a movie about Palestine. He can do a film about, you know,
people abducting people.
Yeah. he's an amazing filmmaker.
Yeah.
It's higher on my list.
Okay. Yeah, I figured. Yeah, that's cool.
I don't really want to wax too much to give away my list here.
That's okay. You can pass on it for now and I can talk about it.
I'll pass on it for now.
I thought Gosling was terrific. Ford is awesome. Robin Wright.
Yeah, even like Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
In like a 5-minute role, yeah. Just kills.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Robin Wright, I thought, anchored the film with a very sturdy performance. She's very assertive and badass. I love her stuff. And each frame is stunning.
I love Robin Wright. She's like, you're hurt. I'm not paying for that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The Blu-ray is holy shit.
Oh, really?
Great, by the way.
Nice. I'll have to pick it up.
I bought the UHD version.
Okay.
I have a new thing now. I'm eventually going to get UHD of sometime down the line, so I'm going to start buying UHD versions now.
Yeah, because it comes with a Blu-ray.
Yeah, so my boss just bought a UHD player. He bought like a 4K TV, and he borrowed the disc, and he's like, so that's 4K.
Nice.
And I'm like, yep,
that's
4K.
Right on.
Yeah, Blade Runner.
Yeah. Ooh. And while it's a sci-fi film, I thought it had a very soft human touch. I love the human element in this. I believe Villeneuve is challenging us with how to feel and how to react to artificial humans, artificial intelligence. It's kind of a classic sci-fi question, like, what makes us human? Is it love? Is it preservation of time and life? And do we get to define what is human when we create things?
And you know, sometimes a miracle happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's just surface level stuff. There's so much more going on in this movie. But I love it. Through and through.
Harrison Ford for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah, man, he's great.
Not Mark Hamill.
Yeah, that's right. You know Mark Hamill's best performance, go see Brigsby Bear.
Pretty much.
Blade Runner 2049, love that film. It felt outrageous to put it at number four, but that's where it is on my list.
That's been a good year.
Yeah.
I say between like my five and like three were kind of coin flips.
Yeah.
Number four, Dunkirk.
Nice.
Higher?
Yeah, higher on my list. Yeah.
This legit was probably my number one film until I like rewatched a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
About a week ago, I started rewatching everything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know what? A couple films are better than this, but this film, like any other year, mm-hmm. would be like my number one film of the year. It's like so technically perfect and stunning in every way.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just like Christopher Nolan. It's like the acting is spot on.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it in full 1.39 IMAX too.
Yeah.
Which is freaking stunning.
It is, yeah.
Probably the best presentation I've ever seen of a film.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he's so technically perfect.
Yeah.
I still love people tweeting photos of watching Dunkirk on a plane.
It's outrageous.
It makes me laugh every time I see it.
Oh, man.
The way Christopher Nolan intended it.
That's brutal.
Yeah. But yeah, it's so stunning.
Yeah.
I love that he continually tries to outdo himself. Like the airplane scenes in this film
Oh, yeah.
are like nothing you've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And he doesn't use CG. Like, he blows shit up. I love Christopher. Ships, yeah. I love Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
He's so old school. Not just the film aspect, but he's so old school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope he keeps on making films like this forever.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. But yeah, if this wins Best Picture of the year, I'd be super fine with it.
Right on.
But it's a stunning film.
Yeah, man. I'll chime in just while we're talking about Dunkirk, and we're getting close to the top anyway. It's Christopher Nolan, big event cinema. Like, when he comes out with a movie, people talk about it, and you don't get that with every filmmaker. We saw it in 70mm, as we talked about, and other digital formats, laser IMAX, beautiful stuff.
The laser IMAX version.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's pristine.
Yeah.
And I just love the storylines going on. You've got the soldiers, and you've got the Air Force, and the civilians, and the boats.
Harry Styles being all dreamy.
Harry Styles being handsome and tough and badass and doing a really good job and convincing me he should be the next James Bond, but we'll save that for another episode.
Barry Keoghan killing it in multiple films.
Oh, totally,
man. I got another film of his later on my list.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's so good, man. And the edit, it shouldn't work, you know, cutting all three of these stories, telling them side by side, playing with time a little bit, but it works.
Yeah, he's a master, man.
Yeah, and I find that a lot of the performances from this film are often overlooked. Tom Hardy does tons with just his eyes. Mark Rylance, always a classy guy. Kenneth Branagh, just delivering all the class in the world. I love this film through and through.
Yeah, Cillian Murphy.
Yeah, he is outstanding.
Yeah, it's not a false note in this film either. Yeah. It's all perfect.
Yeah, so that was your number four?
Yeah, Dunkirk? Okay. Scary, eh?
Yeah, higher on my list, but we'll get to that. We're on to my number three.
Yeah.
Okay, this might be a bit of a curveball. We'll see. World of Tomorrow, Episode 2, The Burden of Other People's Thoughts. Don Hertzfeldt's latest.
Later on my list.
Okay, all right.
I was not into having a short on my list.
Okay.
It's a rule I have. But I said, you know what? It's that good.
Outstanding stuff.
Yeah, so I put it in.
Cool.
It's later.
Okay.
Not a quality drop.
Yeah.
Like, it's just later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the only thing I want to talk about is how it's about Emily Prime again and a new character called Emily Six. They go on an adventure talking about preserving media and memories and generations. And Hertzfeldt, he's just like Sean Baker, I believe. He's a keen observer of the human spirit. And it's as if he channels all of our most intimate secrets, fears, goals, and insecurities. He offers a warm heart in a world that feels so unforgiving. And I love these films that he's making. And when we were at Fantastic Fest, he kind of hinted that he might make more. Whether he does, I'll watch it if he does. If he doesn't, you know, that's up to him. I love these films. I just love the way they make me feel, and it makes me feel less alone in a world that's so big. And knowing that other people have these kinds of feelings, it's reassuring.
And I hope he does more of these and does Q&As at Fantastic Fest, because that was the best Q&A I've ever been to in my life.
It was amazing.
So what do you do when you make the best short ever? You make a better short.
You do.
I think the second one's better than the first one, and the first one was a masterpiece.
Absolutely.
It was perfection.
Yeah.
This one, it's available for rent on Vimeo.
That's right.
Or you can buy it. Spend the $11.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Because you'll want to watch it over and over again.
Yeah, it's genius stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Later on my list, but that's not a quality thing.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm shocked I even have a short on my list. Like, I'm pretty strict on that stuff.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Was that your number three?
That was my number three.
That's cool. I like that you put the short on.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I love that. My number three was my number one film at the mid-year mark, and I didn't think it was going to drop.
Okay. Wow.
Because I think Logan's the best superhero film ever made.
Nice.
And it's my sweet spot.
Yeah.
It's a movie I've been waiting for since I was a kid,
right,
and
on.
I never got it with X-Men films. Yeah. I always liked them.
Yeah.
But they were never the Logan film I wanted.
Yeah.
Wolverine was always such a badass.
Oh, totally.
And you don't get that in a PG film.
You don't.
This is R-rated, it's brutal, and it's haunting.
Yeah.
I watched it again a couple nights ago, and it's still so perfect.
Right on.
It's the film I've wanted forever, and I don't think there'll ever be another film that will, superhero-wise, that will affect me as much as this one did.
Yeah.
In any other year, this is my number one film of the year.
Right on, dude.
Like, it's not even close. Like, the next two movies, I think, are like genre-breaking masterpieces.
Right on, dude.
And this one is just, it's tough. It's like 1C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But it's not. It's 3.
Yeah.
So.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though, man. It's a great film, dude.
Is it lower on your list?
Lower. score. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
At least it's on your list.
That's right. That's like 30, 35. I'm just kidding.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. Right on, dude.
Cool.
My number two, we talked about already, Dunkirk. Dunkirk is my number two.
Nice. That's cool. I don't know what your number one is, but wow. Okay.
It's crazy, right?
My number two is going to piss a lot of people off.
Hey.
I know a lot of friends who don't like this film at all. They actually kind of named it like their worst film of the year. Mm-hmm. And I go to films to watch films that push limits and make me think. And I'll be damned if Mother wasn't that film of the year.
Hell yeah, dude.
Exclamation point.
Yes.
Lowercase.
Yeah.
Darren Aronofsky, I think, if you don't like this film, I think it's for a reason. Mm-hmm. Because I think he's trying to actually piss you off watching this film.
Oh, yeah.
I know the first time you watched it, it kind of blew your hair back.
And
you were
freaked me the fuck out.
You were like,
out,
what
dude.
The hell is this film?
Yeah.
And I thought, cool.
It put me in, I felt panic. Like, yeah. I felt like I shouldn't be watching this.
But isn't that.
All of us shouldn't be here watching this
but
movie.
But isn't that thrilling filmmaking?
It is. It really is.
Like, that's the kind of filmmaking I want to watch when I go and watch a film. Yeah. Not to mention, beautiful 16mm.
Yes.
So beautiful.
Oh, dude.
Jennifer Lawrence just killing it. Yeah. Javier Bardem just killing it. Ed Harris, Michelle Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
As I said, it's Aronofsky. The guy doesn't strike out.
Yeah.
He's hitting three-run home runs all day.
Oh, totally.
And this is the film, man. This is the one that I think really challenged me this year.
Right on.
It's not my number one film because the number one film is just another level.
Yeah.
But, everybody has their own little thought on what the film is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool too.
Yeah.
Watch a film, get your thought on it. I think I'm right, of course.
Yeah.
But
that's all good, man.
But yeah, it's a brilliant film.
It is.
I think you should probably watch it.
Yeah. I'm getting my body and mind ready to do it because as I was watching it, I was watching everybody else's reactions. I think everybody else was feeling the same way. Like, what are we doing here right now? What is this? This should not be legal to do this. But here we are. I was freaking out. I was like so stressed out. And I look over at Sarah and she's smiling. She's loving it.
I love that Sarah got it.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I did enjoy it. Not as much as you, obviously, but that's what the highest forms of art do, man. Like it'll piss you off or you'll love it. I don't know.
I'm sorry if people don't like the film. But yeah, as you said, it's art.
Yeah.
And it's subjective and I think it's brilliant.
Right on.
So yeah, my number two is Mother! Exclamation point.
Hell yeah, dude. Right on. So we're on to the big daddy here, the big show. Number one. Drum roll. Phantom Thread.
That's what I thought.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Phantom Thread. Paul Thomas Anderson and Daniel Day-Lewis's Swan Song. And Vicky Kripes.
Yeah.
Leslie Manville. It's mostly just those three actors just hitting home runs, man. I knew what to expect because some asshole ruined it for me. But it was still breathtaking. And the big word I kept thinking of while I was watching it, I was like, this is exquisite. Like everything about it, the costumes, the acting, the score, the set design, it was so precise. And it was just an intimate portrayal of a man and a woman in a relationship. And greedy part of me will be incredibly sad if this is it for Daniel Day-Lewis, but I'll also be very happy for him if he decides this is it for acting. Kripes matches him, even one-ups him on many scenes. And Johnny Greenwood's score just captures the elegant world, and the entire thing is just such a beautiful collaboration. I adore this film to bits.
Yeah, it's later in my list.
Okay, yeah.
And it killed me.
No way.
I was like, how is Phantom Thread not in my top 10? That movie is so good.
It's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah.
But cool, man. I completely agree.
Yeah.
My number one's Blade Runner 2049.
Right on, dude.
It's like an 8 out of 5.
Yeah.
Like it's it's so above everything else that came out this year. Like 10 seconds in, I was like, holy shit, this is like the film I've been waiting for science fiction wise, probably since like Dark City.
Yeah.
Something like that. Just like I watched it and went, holy shit, you're doing something really cool here that nobody's ever done.
Yeah.
And Blade Runner was a really basic film that had sci-fi elements. This is fucking next level sci-fi. Just the way he shoots it, the acting, a film that is a sequel that doesn't take the original down at all, if anything, improves it. That never happens.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
like how, like it's so perfect. People talk about the length. You're wrong.
Yeah, there's I could watch two more hours of this.
So could have I.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with this film at all. It's perfection.
It is.
Yeah, it's in 20 years, people are going to talk about this film like it's a forgotten masterpiece.
Yeah,
because you all fucked up.
Like everybody,
this film should have been a $1 billion film worldwide. Like you all screwed up.
Yeah,
and you didn't get to see the best film of the year, maybe of the decade, on the big screen.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your problem is, but
yeah,
I saw it 4 times.
Nice. I think I saw it twice on the big screen, and or maybe 3 times.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 times.
So yeah, it's like not even close. Like it's
nice.
It's the best film I've seen in a very long time.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I think probably my favorite film before this of the decade was probably Boyhood.
Okay.
And this film feels like twice of what Boyhood is.
Nice.
It's one of my favorite films of all time, let alone Wicked. This year.
That's awesome, dude.
It's so good.
Right on.
It's why, man. I go to films, man.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Totally.
It was great because I got to see it early with a bunch of press people.
Mm.
And we walked out of the press screen and everybody's like, so what'd you think? And I'm like, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, can't talk.
Yeah.
Mind blown.
Right on.
Must get food.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah. I just wanted to think about it for like 20 hours.
Oh, totally.
And then I had to wait like 2 weeks for it to open so I could see it. It was so tough because I wanted to watch it over and over and over again.
And you couldn't talk about it with
everybody. Yeah, it sucked.
Oh, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah, it's perfection. It's,
right on.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, as I said, it's why I go to films.
Right on, dude.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm glad it's your number one, and it broke my heart to leave it at number 4, which is still pretty high.
Yeah.
It's a great film, dude. I love Blade Runner.
But yeah, as I said, get the UHD, man.
Cool.
It's insane.
Yeah, I'll definitely pick that up. Should we recap our top 10 before doing our 11 through 20?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's do that. I'll do mine first. So just a quick recap. Number 10 was A Ghost Story. Number 9, The Florida Project. Number 8, Okja. Number 7, Personal Shopper. Number 6, Good Time. Number 5, Your Name. Number 4, Blade Runner 2049. Number 3, World of Tomorrow, Episode 2, The Burden of Other People's Thoughts. Number 2, Dunkirk. And number 1, Phantom Thread.
My number 10 was Columbus. My number 9 was Lady Bird. My number 8 was Faces Places. Number 7, The Florida Project. Number 6, BPM. Number 5, A Ghost Story. Number 4, Dunkirk. Number 3, Logan. Number 2, Mother. And number 1, Blade Runner 2049.
Cool. Cool.
The rest, I like the rest of the list.
Yeah.
The films that might not be as talked about as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Right on.
You want me to start?
Yeah, sure.
Number 11, Phantom Thread.
Hey, all right.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Just couldn't do it, man. I tried really hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the one that killed. I was just like, how is that not there?
Yeah.
But, you know, as I said, I had 15 5-star films this year.
Yeah.
That's really low for me. I usually have about 25.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first 15 films are 5-star films.
Cool.
The rest are 4.5. Number 12, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Hell yeah, dude.
Another film that really hurt to lately off my top 10. Like that film was really good.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Just strong. Good material. People don't get it though. It's really starting to piss me off.
Yeah.
I'm having to explain it a lot. That sucks.
That is
I think it's
brutal.
A pretty straightforward film.
It is. Yeah.
Number 13, World of Tomorrow 2, The Burden of Other People's Thoughts.
Nice.
Best short ever made.
Hell yeah.
Vimeo, people. Vimeo. Number 14, The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Yeah.
Yorgos Lanthimos' most accessible film. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean it's still really fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
But it's watchable, where his other films are really kind of punishing, except for The Lobster.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good film. But yeah, it's with warning.
Oh, yeah.
And my last 5-star film, my favorite film of Fantastic Fest, Blue My Mind.
Sweet.
Which still doesn't have distribution.
Wow.
Really freaking me out.
That movie deserves to be seen by everybody.
Which, that movie is kind of like my number 16 film, Raw.
Nice.
They're kind of the same film.
Yeah.
But one goes off in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
But they're both really cool coming-of-age stories of women who encounter something that happens to them after something happens to them. I'm being really vague here. But yeah, they're both really great.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, if you want, I just picked up Raw on Blu-ray from Australia.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's not available on Blu-ray in North America, but there's a really sweet Australian edition if you want to buy that.
It's practically Criterion.
Yeah. Adrian was looking at it. He's like, it's like extra features like crazy. The transfer is amazing. So yeah, if you're looking for Raw, Australian Blu-ray.
Cool.
Number 17, Your Name. We talked about this one already. Yeah. It's really damn good.
Yeah.
Makoto Shinkai. He's pretty good. Number 18, Good Time.
Hell yeah.
I wish I could have done that. That should have been higher too. Such a great movie.
All good, man.
Blu-ray is great too.
Yeah.
Turn It Up. Watch, you know, watch Pattinson kill.
Hell yeah.
But the Safdies, man. Heaven Knows What was complete shit.
Yeah.
The jump between that film and this film is huge. Revelatory.
Yeah.
Number 19, Okja.
Hell yeah.
Netflix killing it.
Right on.
Yeah. If you're not on board with Netflix, you're not going to get movies made.
Yeah, that's right.
That movie cost $75 million to make and Netflix paid for it all.
Yeah.
That is the future, folks.
That's cool.
And number 20 was not the best film of the year, but my favorite film of the year that wasn't Prestige.
Yeah.
Thor Ragnarok.
Sweet. Right on. Yeah, I know you really enjoyed that. That's cool.
I love Thor Ragnarok.
Right on.
They made Thor into something I didn't think he could be. Mm-hmm. Funny.
Yeah.
Because he was such a dull character in the rest of the films.
I thought the first one was funny, though. The first Thor. Yeah. Not as funny as this one, though. That's for sure.
But it's all about Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
He's just a genius.
And he's in the movie, too.
Yeah. He's great in the film.
He's so good.
But yeah, it's my favorite fun film of the year.
Right on.
And I think it's brilliant.
Cool.
That's my list.
That's your list. Cool. All right. So yeah, when I was making my list, at one point or another, all of these movies were in my top 10, including some ones that I watched quite recently. So
nice.
Number 11, Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig's film, destroyed me to leave it out of my top 10. But yeah, I made 11. I love this film. It's adorable. It's great. This movie can do no wrong. Number 12 is Raw. We talked about this a lot, and that's fine. It's a great film. It's
best horror film of the year.
Yeah, I would say so.
I would say Mother, but is that a horror film?
Yeah.
But yeah, real horror film.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's a horror film.
It is. Ooh. Yeah, it's got some great genre stuff in there. Number 13, this wasn't on your list. That's cool, though. John Wick, Chapter 2. I love.
I think Keanu the first Reeves. One's better.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that.
And I rewatched Chapter 2 a couple days ago, actually. Mm, nice. It's good. Yeah. I like it. Can't wait for the third one.
Oh, yeah.
Because that ending is wicked, man.
Oh, it is.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Get it? Wicked.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Cheap. That was cheap. That's sorry. Bad.
So, yeah, John Wick Chapter 2 is number 13. Number 14, Faces Places.
Nice.
The beautiful documentary that just put a huge smile on my face. Made me feel really good for that whole day and whole week, probably. That's a beautiful film. Everybody needs to see that. Faces Places. My number 15 film, BPM, Beats Per Minute.
Cool.
It killed me to leave this out of top 10. I just couldn't find the room. It's a great film. I think about it probably daily.
It's a good year, man.
Yeah. Ever since I watched it, I think I've thought about it every single day. Number 16, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. McDormand's a badass and so is McDonough. Criticism about the racism in this film seems to come from white people only. So I'll just leave it at that.
Nice.
Woke Olympics was last year, folks. Number 17, Baby Driver. Edgar Wright's film. Such a watchable film. I love this movie and love the choreography, music, and action.
It was on my short list.
Okay. Number 18, Killing of a Sacred Deer. We've talked about this quite a bit. This takes place in the Yorgos Lanthimos universe. I want to hang out there. I don't want to live there. I want to spend a week there. But I want to come back here.
I like a metal band. It's more sturdy than a leather band.
That's right. Talking about the band they have from their watches and making it freaking hilarious. I love that movie.
Colin Farrell knocks me out in that film. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. He's talking about his hairy armpits and stuff. And oh, it's so funny. And
you're a much younger man than me. Of course you'll have less hair than me. Yeah.
Probably the funniest line in the movie was when Nicole Kidman talked about all of their great hair when they were at the dinner table. We all have great hair. Oh my God. I almost died. And number 19, Logan. We talked about this one a bunch. Great story, great characters, perfect send-off for Jackman and Stewart because they're done with this franchise, yeah. Right? Love Logan.
Tear.
Yeah.
I bet you Jackman comes back now that Fox is with Marvel.
Oh, with Disney? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll have like Guardians 6 with Wolverine or something. That's
right. That would be crazy, man. And my number 20, this is one that it always stuck with me ever since I watched it. The Girl with All the Gifts.
Nice.
It's a zombie film with a strong message and strong characters and a little girl who I hope will become a big star one day.
It was on my list last year.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this movie and love the message that it carries. I think there's something really beautiful there. And it boggles my mind that it's a low budget film because it looks like it costs a lot of money. Great film.
Cool, man. That's a good list.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the number 20. I like that one.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people talking about that movie.
Yeah.
It's good. It's on Netflix. Everybody watch it.
Yeah, man.
Or buy the Blu-ray. Support it.
Yeah, for sure.
Bottom three.
Do you want to go? Just do your three and I'll do my three.
Yeah. If we don't have the same number one, I'm going to slap the shit out of you. Number three, Resident Evil, The Final Chapter.
Yeah.
Editing the movie.
Oh, worst movie ever, dude. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No shot lasts more than fuck you. That's a line from Will Goss.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Number two, Book of Henry.
Okay, I didn't see that
one. The film that I think cost Colin Trevorrow Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And number one, Olaf's Frozen Adventure.
Oh, good call. I should rewrite my list.
It's so bad they took it off the print.
Yeah.
Like, it was 23 minutes of absolute torture.
Yeah.
It was, like, the worst thing I've seen in 10 years.
It should be a hate crime, that movie.
So terrible. And it's a short, and I put it on there.
Was it 22 minutes?
Yeah, because ridiculous? Fuck you. Yeah. It's so bad.
Oh, it's like, hey, let's try jam-pack some songs and sell them on iTunes.
Yeah, worst film of the year.
Yeah, that's a good call. I should call it audible. Yeah, I should call an audible. The three I have written down in probably no particular order, Resident Evil 5, we talked about that just now. Goon 2, which is absolute trash.
Yeah, you have a special love for Goon 1, which makes it even worse.
Yeah.
And I don't have that love.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You were so defeated after that screen. Yeah. It was like they killed one of your children.
They did. Right in front of me. It was ridiculous. And Jigsaw. man, that movie was bad. It was so dumb. And the Olaf's Frozen Adventure. Fuck that movie, dude. I hope they bury it. I hope they burn it. I hope nobody ever sees it again.
That'll be on the Blu-ray.
Better not be. I'll protest that shit, man.
Yeah. I got some random categories and I got some top tens from friends.
Nice.
My best video game was Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
It's the best game I played in a very long time. It's the only game I've ever platinumed on PS4.
That's awesome.
Best TV show of the year, Mr. Robot Season 3.
Sweet.
Holy shit, is that great
stuff. I need to catch up.
So good. Yeah, that's about it. I don't have music this year.
Okay. Probably my most listened to album was Beck's latest one.
It's a good disc.
Yeah. Was it Colors?
Colors.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Probably the Queens of Stone Age disc for me.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, that was good.
It was a pretty weak year for music for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just a lot of songs.
Yeah, that's true.
I like the Harry Styles song, Sign of the Times.
Nice.
I probably shouldn't have liked that song, but I liked it.
Yeah.
What can I say? Some top tens from friends. Some of them are on the same page as us. Some of them are not, which I think is really cool. Zach Mosley, he has 10 and a documentary. Number 10, Logan. Number 9, Okja. Number 8, BPM. Number 7, Killing of a Sacred Deer. Number 6, Dunkirk. Number 5, Good Time.
Hey.
Hell yeah. Number 4, Florida Project. Number 3, Blade Runner 2049. Number 2, the film I got really pissed that I missed at VIFF called Western.
Okay.
Which I heard was a really good Western.
Nice.
And number 1, Mother.
Oh.
Exclamation
shit.
Point. Yeah.
You go, Zach.
Love that shit.
Right on.
Love it. You go, Zach. Jim Poliafico from the Movie Bears podcast. Number 10, Good Time.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Number 9, Dunkirk.
Cool.
Number 8, Baby Driver. Number 7, Mother. Number 6, Your Name. Number 5, film I'm shocked we didn't both have, Wind River.
Oh man, it killed me to leave Wind River.
Dude, me too.
Yeah.
Number 4, another one, Coco.
Yeah, the finale is what knocked it down to 4.5
Coco's,
for me.
Coco's fucking great.
Yeah.
Number 3, A Ghost Story. Number 2, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Hell yeah.
Number 1, The Florida Project.
Dude, awesome list.
Will Lindis. Louis Barris Podcast. Number 10, Mother. Number 9, Raw.
Nice.
Number 8, Call Me By Your Name.
Cool.
Number 7, Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
Number 6, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Number 5, Lady Bird. Number 4, The Florida Project. Number 3, World of Tomorrow 2.
Yeah.
The Burden of Other People's Thoughts. Number 2, Personal Shopper.
Nice.
There's a champion of Personal Shopper this year. It's definitely Will Lindis.
Oh, totally.
Love that. Yeah. And number 1, Ghost Story.
Nice. Yeah. That's awesome.
So good.
Hell yeah.
Melissa McDowell. Number 10, a tie between Step, which is a documentary I haven't seen.
Okay. Yeah.
Which I'm a little ashamed to say because I thought I'd seen everything. And Call Me By Your Name.
Cool.
Number 9, Mudbound, which
I still haven't seen
really
it.
Good. Nice. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original film.
Cool.
I'll get on that. Number 8, The Killing of a Sacred Deer.
Cool.
Another tie at 7, Shape of Water and Okja.
Nice.
Number 6, Blade Runner 2049. Number 5, A Ghost Story.
Yes.
Number 4, Columbus.
Nice.
Number 3, BPM. Number 2, Faces Places. And number 1, The Florida Project.
Dude.
So both Jim and Melissa have Florida Project at number 1.
That's a great list.
Marina Antunes, the queen of podcasting.
Heck yeah. She's the reason we're here right now.
Totally. Number 10, The Lost City of Zed.
I love that movie.
So do I. 9, Logan. Number 8, A Tie, Lady Macbeth and My Cousin Rachel.
Okay.
Number 7, War for the Planet of the Apes. Number 6, The Breadwinner. Number 5, Columbus. Number 4, Call Me By Your Name. Number 3, The Florida Project.
Nice.
Number 2, Phantom Thread.
Hell yeah. Marina knows what's up.
No, she knows what's up. Number 1, Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, all right on.
Yeah.
That's a good list too.
And my friend David House, who I think you might have met. He watches stuff for VIF. Number 10, The Hanukkah Happy End.
Okay, cool.
Number 9, The Disaster Artist.
Nice.
Number 8, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Boom.
Number 7, Blade Runner 2049. Number 6, Lady Bird. Number 5, Phantom Thread. Number 4, a film that's playing at the Victoria Film Festival next month, The Little Girl Who Wasn't Too Fond of Matches.
Okay.
Which I'll be seeing there. Number 3, Summer 1993. Don't even know what it is.
Oh, wow.
Probably should have looked it up.
Yeah.
That's really rare that I don't know something. Number 2, Shape of Water.
Okay, cool.
Right yeah.
On. Right on.
And number 1, The Florida Project.
Hell yeah.
So Florida Project among our friends is very well loved.
That's a great list.
He also had a favorite doc, which is Faces Places. Yeah. Zach did too, which was AlphaGo.
AlphaGo rules.
Yeah, so good. That's our list.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Our friends have great taste in movies.
For sure. Thanks awesome. To everybody who answered my call.
That's cool.
On Twitter.
That's awesome.
That's really, I really appreciate that.
That's cool.
That's the list.
Wow. Boom. There it is.
Yeah. once again, you know, my shit's definitive. And it's just the way it is. It's perfect.
Just the way it is.
Sorry. It's just the way it is.
See, mine's a carefully curated list that the tastemakers will look at and admire for years to come. It'll shape the minds of tomorrow's cinephile. Yes.
I thought for sure you were going to do something stupid like put Justice League on there.
Oh, dude. Justice League. Number 9.
Justice League was almost in my bottom 3.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
That movie kicks ass, dude. And when are they going to release the Snyder Cut? We want it, dude.
Are you going to go outside the building and protest?
I will.
Yeah.
I'll join my brothers and sisters. in a cause that we should all stand up for.
So terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
All right, so I guess we're caught up.
We are caught up.
All is done, and now we're into the shit films.
January movies, man.
Yeah. January and February movies aren't looking very good. Yeah. So we'll see how the show is for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
But yeah, that was a good show. Your great list as always, my friend. And, you know, great seeing movies with you this year.
Yeah, man.
And many more years to come, hopefully.
Hell yeah.
And yeah, podcast.
Hell yeah.
It's weird. We didn't, you know, do it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how people actually, like, cared that we didn't do it for a while. That was pretty cool.
That's cool. We appreciate that for sure. Because I definitely got a couple messages like, hey, what's up? And I'm like, I'm really sick right now. I can't move. Can't watch movies too. That was the rough thing. Some people when they're in recovery, they're able to like read books and watch movies. But I couldn't. I was just so uncomfortable that I couldn't focus.
Adrian just sat on his couch and smoked weed.
That's right.
The natural painkiller.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I don't smoke weed. Like, I took ibuprofen, and that was about it.
You're a lightweight.
That's right. That's right. But yeah, I guess we can tell people where they can find us online. You're on Twitter.
I am at SoundJam69. Say hi.
And I'm on Twitter as well. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. The show has a Twitter account at @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death and hit like. You can find us there. We also have a website, thegreenscreenofdeath.com. And I guess we should also tell you, you can find us on various podcast platforms such as Google, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast. Just run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Do us a big favor, hit like and leave us a rating and a comment, whatever you want. We'd love to hear from you, and it'll help us find a wider audience. We'd appreciate that. That's all we ask for. We're not going to go set up a Patreon account and beg for your money there. Just give us a rating. That's enough for us. So... I guess, is that it?
I guess that's it, man.
Cool. Again, thanks if you made it all the way to the end. We appreciate it. Thanks for checking out our lists. We appreciate it. It's one of our favorite shows to do of the year. So probably the show we look forward to each year. So here's to another year, man. And
yeah, for sure.
Thanks everybody for showing your love and checking in with us when we weren't around. So we're back though. Just like John Wick, we're back. So until next time.
Peace.